B-Pod Studios.
Toucher. Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. This guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray in studio, and coming up later on, next hour, the return, Mr. Mike Gorman. That's going to be nice. Also, Billy Jaffe as well. And so everybody kind of spent their evening yesterday doing something different. I'm not quite sure about Wallach, obviously getting enraged and throwing things at his television while watching the Red Sox. Whereas me, I was kind of flipping around. For the most part, listen, as I said, I'm default Celtics. So if there's all the teams playing at the same time, and I wanted to watch last night's game because this was going to be where you got to see whether or not the bench is indeed the trash pile that we all remember it being. And to be quite honest, they did fine against the Heat starters, or not the Heat, the Rocket starter. Hey, listen, my expectations are so low. The fact that they were able to score 100 was fine. Now, defensively, they let James Harden be James Harden, and he did anything he wanted to do at will. I understand that. My expectations are in the ground,
Rich,
for this bench.
Houston finished the first half on a 77-50 run, Rich.
Dude, it was their starters against the Celtics bench.
Houston's got one of the best offenses
in the league.
They played like players do.
Houston, they've got one of the best offenses in the league. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the Celtics bench, like no one in their top six, seven players played last night. They were all sitting down.
Yeah.
So the fact that you had, you know, guys that barely are on the team holding their own against them was at least encouraging. John, it's scrimmages obviously mean everything. So I was sitting there flipping back and forth between that. I watched some of the NHL bubble, which by the way looks amazing. If you want to kind of rank the order in which each one of the like COVID era sports look on television, I would go last place right now. Well, the MLS is last, but then I would go baseball, because baseball is still wildly depressing, except for, of course, the chance that we might see your giant head in the Green Monster seats. Mm-hmm. And then I would go basketball. I think basketball does a pretty good job, although their announcer guy is way too loud. Like, it sounded like the first couple times, I thought that Scal was yelling at me. But it ended up it was the announcer who was louder than Mike Gorman and Scal during the broadcast. And then I would say first, there's no question, hockey. They have done it right. I don't know if you got to watch any of it last night. But, it looks like it's like a presentation. They've covered up the stands with these kind of big banners. There's the sound, even of the crowd, is really – they've done a really good job. It's going to be the least jarring experience going from what you're used to watching it on television while the pandemic's going on. The bubble looks great. Like, hockey did a great job if you got to watch any of those. So that's what I was doing. I was flipping between all of those during last night. Yet there was another person sitting here in the show, Mr. Joe Murray, who spent his evening at a certain place, which, listen, he's no stranger of. As a matter of fact, the man's got a VIP card. A gentleman just rolled up onto Kowloon for a little night under the stars. So Joe Murray ended up tweeting that he was over there, and you went to the big car hop thing they got out there, right, Joe?
I did. I pulled out my VIP card.
Oh, Jesus. Is that what that was?
No, I'm kidding.
come on.
No, I haven't. I talked with Andy. We had a nice discussion on Sunday. We're friends. We talk. And he goes, hey, man, we're doing a surprise showing of the movie Rocky Tuesday night. And I'm like, oh, cool, man. That's going to be great. And he goes, yeah, I'll get you a spot. I said, all right, man, thanks. So I strolled in.
Hang on. Real quick. So Joe is tweeting out photos. First of all, I mean, to hear from him, he is a member of the Kowloon crew. I mean, he just shows up and he goes through the back door. But when you were tweeting your photos, let me stop the music. I have one question for you, Joe. Because if you don't understand how it works, they've got this thing set up where, you know, it's almost like a drive-in, right, Joe? It's a drive-in movie. Yep. There's a big movie screen and you could sit in your car. So I was thinking, all right, that seems fine. You know, he's going out, he's watching a movie, you know, him and his lady are sitting in their car and they're watching the film. And then I look at the picture and no, Joe went to a drive-in movie with a dude.
That's right, my boy.
They
Peter.
Just sat right in the front seat together.
You're gonna bring a chick to go see Rocky?
Yeah, if you go to a drive-in movie.
I'm going to bring a chick to go to a drive-in movie, yeah. Yes.
I didn't sit in my car. So, all right, let me just explain how it works. You park in the drive-in section, and then you can bring your chair and sit on a lawn, a piece of the lawn that they give you, like turf. So me and my buddy had drinks watching Rocky on...
But you sat in the car while you were doing it because you took a picture of you guys watching the movie while sitting in the front seat together.
No, that's the spot that I got. But no, we sat outside. We didn't sit in the car. I've been there twice now. I've never sat in the car for the movie because it's so nice outside.
Okay.
They set it up
when you called your friend. Would you called your buddy and said, "Hey, dude, let's go to a drive-in movie together"? What did he say?
He go, "Well, I don't think it was weird at all."
You guys lay a blanket down and
we
share a picnic basket or something.
I brought my beach chair with me. Dude, this is not what you guys think it looked like. You got to get up there.
I don't know.
You got to get up there.
I know it's like what the pictures told me. I mean, I agree with Rich. It looked a little weird.
I took a selfie in the car. Yeah, because you have to drive in together.
I'm happy for you, Joe. All of us need companionship in life. Male and female companionship are both very important.
I am as far as it gets from being any kind of like Captain Macho or anything like that. But, I mean, there's just certain things that you don't ask your guy friends to do. Going to get ice cream together is one of them. I know
you want to go watch Rocky at the Kowloon.
A wine tasting.
A drive-in movie. Yeah.
Take her to the zoo.
Do you want to go to a drive-in movie together? And you look just happy as hell. By the way, I thought it was Marshall Hook when I first saw the photo.
That guy looks like he ate Marshall Hook. Okay.
No. Marshall looks like me now.
He's skinny.
Marshall lost a lot of weight.
Oh, yeah. So you guys.
I wanted to go see Rocky. I had nobody to go with. I said, "Hey, buddy, you want to go?"
Well, he says, yeah. Where else can you see Rocky? It seems like an impossible thing to access. Unless your dude friend. And just say, "Bro, it's a bro night. So let's get a little brodeo going. Go see Rocky, sit in the car together."
That's exactly what happened. A little brodeo at the loon.
Well, listen, I mean, not all, you know, listen, I wish I could do something. I'm being honest. I wish I could go out and about and do stuff like that. It sounded like it looked like a lot of fun, to be honest. I mean, the picture was weird and it was kind of strange. But either way, and to tweet that out was a little strange as well. I'm not sure what kind of messages you're sending there. But listen, you are. When Joe Murray rolls up to the Kowloon for Rocky night, you know it's a party.
Jay Sue with a Sarge movies out on the lawn and a spread full of food paid for by Andy Wong. Chicken teriyaki combo meal.
Spare ribs.
And Mushu pork. Kowloon Joe and his Kowloon friends watching flicks. The party never ends. They're the kings of Saugus. Hey, look, is that John Cena's dad?
Did John Cena's dad show up?
He's
is he
just
there?
Sitting there.
Was he just... I'm getting tweeted photos of the two guys in the Sonic commercials. Like, did you guys like high five each other at the end of the big fight? Did you guys like, you know? Did you have you acted out any of the scenes where you're sitting there doing the fist bump, just living like kings in the drive-thru? Dude, it's Rocky night.
How do I not laugh at that? It's so funny.
Movies out on the lawn and a spread full of food paid for by Andy Wong. Chicken teriyaki combo meal.
Spare ribs.
And Mushu pork. Kowloon Joe and his Kowloon friends watching flicks. The party never ends. They're the kings of Saugus. Hey, look, is that John Cena's dad?
Ha ha! just thought about it the better it got. Hey, man, it's Rocky night. Let's go. You know, let's wear our tanks. Let's go. Show them our tanks. Let's just sit in the car. Yeah. Hey, two Mai Tais from a boy and me.
I was trying to take bets. I was like, hey, anybody know who's going to win the fight?
Bets on the fight? Oh, man. And by the way, there is some shamelessness out there when it comes to Andy Wong. Like, shameless. Not with you. You're one of his good friends. You guys travel together.
Yeah,
you guys,
that's right.
You're truly in the crew. But I saw a certain hockey writer the other day just be like, man, this at Kowloon thing looks great. At Andy Wong sure looks like he knows what he's doing. Yeah, I'd love to bring the family out there one day.
I know. It's kind of like Tangway with actors, you know? Same thing.
And then 2 days later, had a great night at Kowloon. Thanks, at Andy Wong, for all the great thing. And it's got, you know, the whole family. I'm just like, I mean, there is some shamelessness being thrown out there. That is just out of control.
That's not how you get in the crew, my friend. That's not how it works.
That's not how you get in the crew at all. Listen, hey, Joe, next time, tell me when Rocky Night comes around. You and I will go out, all right? You know? I'll wear my high knee socks. I'll wear some short shorts. I'll get my tank. We'll go running on the beach beforehand to get pumped.
No, you better call me. You're never going to see Rich again. You might as well bring it over here.
I think we might have to get that for Rocky 3, though.
You know? Oh, I'm definitely
We'll splash each other on the beach.
Yeah.
Come on, man. It'll be the most awesomely manly thing we've ever done together. Oh, my God.
That was so funny.
That picture was the best. All right. So, the pictures I'm getting tweeted now, it's like Wayne and Garth lying on the car together looking into the stars.
Yep.
All right. 617-779-0985. Jim McBride from the Globe's going to join us and get this show back on track.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Dutcher.
Our only concern...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich.
Put your dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We spent all offseason talking about how the Patriots would look without their quarterback on offense and Tom Brady. Well, with Dante Hightower, this is taking away the quarterback of their defense. And, you know, to highlight his value to the Patriots, just go to the nickname that Bill Belichick coined him, called him Mr. February for his knack for coming up with big game-changing plays in the Super Bowl. So while all these opt-outs hit the Patriots in a different degree, Hightower is really the one that hits them the hardest, especially considering the other talent they lost at linebacker, Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, leaving in free agency.
Day 5, the Sports Hub. What a weird day for the Patriots yesterday. It's Toucher and Rich. I mean, just so many Patriots all in a 24-hour period, no longer going to be playing this season, and Jim McBride probably not at Kowloon night to watch Rocky with one of his friends, but either way, he's probably too busy covering the Patriots for the Boston Globe, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Jim. Weird-ass day yesterday for this team.
I actually saw Rocky at the drive-in. It was the old Wellington Circle drive-in there. Maybe John Wallach's the only one that would remember that.
No, I am old enough to remember that, yes. Yeah. That's long gone, yes.
John had many a conquest there.
actually. That's how old I am, yes.
He used to play Dungeons and Dragons in the back seat when R-rated movies were on. His parents wouldn't let him watch. That was the conquest in which I speak of. All right, so Jim, once again, I mean, this is obviously a bit of a shock. The Canon one not, Hightower is, and just the sheer amount. I guess, why so many Patriots specifically, and why so early?
Yeah, I would say, you know, probably age has a little bit to do with it. These guys are in their 30s. But I think it's more of a personal decision for all of these guys. And health is obviously the main topic in their families. I mean, you think of Dante Hightower, and he just had a baby, him and his fiancée, 2 weeks ago. Patrick Chung's expecting a child soon. And Marcus Cannon's a cancer survivor. So, you know, these guys are putting their health and their family first. It's always a stunner when something like this happens. I mean, I know people say, oh, I'm not surprised. But when you first got that news, it was a surprise that they weren't going to play. But, you know, once you hear their reasons and think about it yourself, it's perfectly, you know, it's a logical decision on their part. And, you know, they're putting their family first. And I don't think anyone can really criticize them for it. But, you know, maybe during a team meeting, they were told to think about this, you know, early on. And that's why they, you know, six of them came out in the last 2 days and they've had a little more time to think about it. But, it was a surprise that many guys in such a short period of time, comparatively speaking, the rest of the league, no team has taken this many blows in such a short period of time.
The other major question, Jim, obviously, is how does that affect the product on the field? My opinion is the only one that really truly matters is Hightower.
I disagree. I think Chung's a huge part of that defense. He's, you know, he's a hybrid linebacker safety guy. They used him in so many different varieties. He rarely left the field. He's a guy that could cover tight ends. He could, play and run support. I think he's really going to be missed. He's kind of more of a quiet leader in that locker room, so I think they'll miss that leadership too. I think, you know, taking those two guys away from, you know, the top defense in the league last year, it's going to sting. You know, I was thinking that this defense would carry this team, with Tom Brady being absent. When he left in March, I thought, well, this team's still going to be good because of the defense. And, you know, the hits they've taken on that side of the ball since then, have been devastating. You know, their entire linebacking crew was wiped out from last year except for Juwan Bentley. So there's a lot of work to do in that front seven. Luckily, they still have the best secondary in the league.
Okay, I think, Jim, just because of the sheer numbers, it's fair to ask this. Because it would sound like a conspiracy theory if they hadn't blown away every other team in the league with the amount of people who are opting out. And you were saying that maybe there was some sort of meeting that said, hey, guys, if you could make your decisions early, that would be great. I mean, that's all speculation. But, I mean, do you believe that there may have been a strategic angle to that? If that happened, where there was a meeting, do you think this is all part of some sort of plan where maybe somebody looked ahead and said, there's going to be players that are not going to play, and if we can get them to all in bulk do it before anyone else, we'll maybe have this money that we're able to play with and get a jump on any kind of free agents that we want to, or any kind of way we can use this before other teams? Do you think that there might have been some strategy to this?
I really doubt it. I saw that those conspiracy theories kind of being floated yesterday, and Schefter's tweet kind of added some fuel to that fire. His back and forth with an NFL personnel. I don't think so. You know, that just, you know, that's such far ranging thinking. I think these, you know, it would really take some deviousness, I think, to pull off something like that. I think that this organization is so focused on winning that they want all their guys on hand. They want the best players available. So I don't think that they would try to nudge anyone in a certain direction.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I mean, I'm not thinking it's deviousness. I'm just thinking it might be the coaching staff saying, and I'm with you, I don't think that there was any kind of weird conspiracy, but just because so many happened at once, maybe it was a case of, listen, we understand that many of you guys might opt out and we support you and we'll be behind you 100%. We're not going to push you to do this, but if you can do it, the earlier the better would be nice. Don't you think that maybe just a suggestion lent itself to maybe all of these people doing it at once?
I mean, certainly that's a conversation that could have happened, but where there's such a short window for guys to make that decision a week, I don't think there was that much pressure on guys to say, hey, you know, if you're leaning in this direction, then make your decision quickly. Just because, you know, they've got to make that decision by Monday anyway, August 3rd. So, you know, I think that because the Patriots have so many, you know, veterans and smart guys, I think they talk a lot. I think they talk a lot about life and not just football, that maybe those conversations were had among the players themselves. Like, hey, you know, if this agreement gets reached and there's an opt-out opportunity, you know, what do you guys think, you know, about taking? Because I'm thinking taking it, those kind of discussions. But between the staff and the players, I would doubt that, unless a player went to a staffer and was seeking advice. But, you know, that would be the only way I would think it would happen. But I think it was more player-to-player conversation than player-to-coach conversation.
Well, Jim, planned or not, now the Patriots are flush with cap room, over $20 million. And wouldn't you know it, for a team that's lost a lot of linebackers and pass rushers, there's a guy sitting there, Jadeveon Clowney, who had gone on record as saying he wants $15 or $20 million a year. You know, that cap room is going to carry over to next year, too. Would the Patriots go after Clowney now that they have the cap room to sign him?
I certainly wouldn't be surprised at anything. You know, there's some holes to fill in that defense now. He's probably the marquee guy, him and Everson Griffin, as far as pass rushers. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. You know, Jadeveon might have to come down a little bit on his price, but I could see that being a really good fit. You know, he wants to play on a winning team. I mean, the only really other team I've heard associated with him is the Titans, and I saw Mike Vrabel on a conference call yesterday, and he didn't really sound like he sounded like he was kind of sick of talking about Jadeveon Clowney. So, you know, his choices might be kind of drying up unless there's more guys that opt out this week from other teams opening up other cap space. But, yeah, I could definitely see him, the Patriots, going after him, and I could see him being a really good fit here because, you know, he's got that athleticism where he can play, you know, inside and outside. You know, mainly he's been an outside linebacker guy. But, yeah, I think he could fit in this defense. Then again, I think Jadeveon Clowney could probably fit in any defense. He's that good.
Hey, Jim, I think the league will be watered down this year. I'm sure we'll hear more names that opt out. I've watched the Alliance football. I've watched XFL. If this is a watered-down product this year, what do you think that does for the ratings, and could it hurt the game long-term?
I don't think so, because I think everyone will kind of have that in mind, that maybe this isn't the product they're used to, but, you know, they're going to see the big picture that it will get back to that level eventually if it suffers at all this year. And, you know, I think the ratings probably go up no matter what, because there's just so many fewer people actually at the games, if there's any at all. And though you got to figure those 65, 70,000 people in all those stadiums, they're going to be home or at a bar watching the game now. And I think the ratings will just skyrocket. So as long as they play the games and they don't get canceled, I don't think the product will suffer too much.
Yeah, this is you've seen what the ratings have been, even just for, I think, opening night of baseball was like through the roof. I mean, all of these, the return of sports has been massive. And
yeah,
despite,
I was watching Calgary Edmonton last night on NHL Network, so, you know, people are dying for it.
How good does that look, by the way? How good does the NHL bubble look?
Fantastic. You know, even the product, even the in between periods, the analysis and going to different arenas, I thought it looked great, because they did some jump ins between the Toronto Montreal game last night, where they, you know, they went to Edmonton to kind of preview that game. It really looked smooth, and I was really encouraged by no negative tests and the product that I watched last night.
Yeah, I have to be honest. Well, first of all, the broadcasts, the teams have been really good. I mean, it's been, yeah, in all the sports, it's been pretty seamless. But, you know, baseball, there's still moments where you get a little depressed, because, I mean, it's just you can't miss the big empty stands. And I remember on opening night, they played Sweet Caroline, and you're like, all right, man, that's just sad. Like, at that point, it's like, hey, let's have fun, empty stands. And it's just like, it just reminds you the pandemic is here. You're like, ah. But you're right. There's a suspension of disbelief when you watch the NBA. They've done a good job. You know, they've taken the stands out. They've got those big screens. But the best one, I'm telling you, that NHL one, I couldn't have been more impressed with what they did up there. I mean, they covered the stands, but they also didn't make it too obtrusive. The sound was just at just the right level. Who would have thought, out of all the leagues to do it right, it would be, you know, the redheaded stepchild over here. It would be the NHL. And they seem to have figured it out. They did a really good job. I couldn't have been more impressed.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. You know, I watched some of the Red Sox game, and they had that segment with Darren Austin now where they do the best seat in the house, and it just kind of Especially yeah. the fact that no one's there.
Oh, right. God. Did you see that last night? She was right. standing in the upper deck down the right field line. Why am I standing here? Because I wanted to watch the sunset. Okay,
and
fantastic.
And I'm not even going to kill Nesson for that because it's kind of like they're just doing the best with what they got. Yeah. But you're right. It's like, hey, we're sitting way the hell out here all on our own. You know, it's like
all these empty seats that are very obvious from where I'm sitting.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost not the best seat in the house, really.
Yeah. No, it is not at all. All right. Well, Jim McBride for the Boston Globe, appreciate having you on. This is going to be an interesting week, you know, with all the opt-outs and everything. There's certain players that they've kind of thrown hints out there, which I'm worried about, like the McCourties, but we'll keep an eye on all that. And, you know, it's going to be strange. All right, Jim, I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for coming on, man.
You bet, Rich. Take care, guys.
Right. Thanks, you too. All right. So there was, despite the Red Sox being, you know, atrocious television right now, unless you're John and you're just rooting for it to burn, there was one fantastic moment. And to be quite honest, it's what we've all been waiting for. As a matter of fact, the baseball season this year didn't really have me excited except for one thing, and that was revenge against the Astros. And last night we had just a fantastic moment that really helped us all realize why baseball is a great sport in the first place, and that is revenge and revenge pitching. So we will get to that right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Bob. Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Toucher and Rich. I don't know if every time I hear the Crazy Town bed that it drives me crazy or it just makes me laugh. That just Crazy Town. If you would have told me that every day of my working life for the past like 5 months I would have heard Crazy Town at some point, I would have thought that was a little odd, but here we are. Maybe accidentally lean on the old delete button. Just kind of, whoops, didn't mean to get that. Or at least put in like one of the better Crazy Town songs.
Wait, there are other Crazy Town songs?
John, of course, Revolving Door. It's about Shifty Shellshock having so many women, they go through a revolving door.
Okay.
That was only like the biggest single of whatever year that was, where great music reigned. Well, listen, everyone knows that the Red Sox are awful, and we were talking to Joe earlier. You know, they're 1-4. They've lost their four games in a row here, and the pitching situation doesn't look like it's going to get much better. You know, the deal with Eduardo Rodriguez, if you're them, it's probably a wise decision to keep him out for this weird-ass season. I don't think you mess around with a guy that you truly have your future depends on this guy. Like, you're looking to this guy to be a Red Sox for a while, and I just don't think you're going to you mess around, especially when it comes to someone's heart. You give him the year off. So things aren't going to get much better, and Joe Murray was giving us the odds as to whether or not they would win 20 games this year. And you know what? I would take the under as well. And I mean, first of all, it's when you start off 1-4, and one of those series that you lost was against just the sad excuse for the team and the Orioles. And it doesn't look like, I mean, they're not going to make any trades or anything in the shortened season
The schedule makers were great. They said, okay, Red Sox, we know you lost Sale. We know you lost a bunch of pitchers. We're going to give it to you easy. We're going to have you play the Orioles and the Mets at home to start the season. And then we'll ease you into the Yankees. They're 1-4 against teams that they were supposed to beat. And now they have to play the tough part. That's how bad this is.
You see, I think that under 20 is a decent bet, and here's why. Like, if it was a straight up bet that their win total would be under 20, not adjusted in any sort of way, I would take that, because you also have to account for the fact that there's probably more than likely going to be like 3 to 5 games that are just guaranteed to not be played, because it sounds like there's going to be little pockets like what happened with the Marlins. Marlins gonna be on for a week, but I mean, there's going to be little things like that, that there's going to be a game here and a game there that can't be played if the season does continue. So under 20 doesn't seem like a bad Vegas bet if you're looking at this team.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it if there's any current stuff out there.
Okay, like, because at the beginning of the season, it was 29, right?
It was 31.5. It went down to 29 the day
of. I laughed so hard when you told me that number. There's no way in hell. There's no way in hell. That might need until the end of April next year to win 30.
Well, I mean, either way, I knew it was going to be a wacky season, but this is just, I mean, it's getting to the point where it's tough to watch. As I said, unless you're John and you're rooting for a train wreck, which you are seeing every single night, but at least you get to see the best seat in the house. You know, hey, look at me. She brought that up. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. That is pretty dumb when they do that. But we did get to see something that was entertaining last night. And to be quite honest, it's the number one reason I was looking forward at all to this baseball season. And that is revenge against the Astros. And what better person to do it than Joe Kelly? I love Joe Kelly. He was always great when he came on the show, which I think was twice, but he was very good and he was funny and he's honest and he's also a borderline maniac. So last night, in order to exact the revenge, it was Dodgers Astros and Joe Kelly was up, and Joe Kelly didn't just like beam a guy. He threw a 96 mile per hour 3-0 fastball at Alex Bregman's head, like went straight for his head, and Bregman was able to get out of the way. So it ended up going behind, I mean, like this. But, you know, Bregman took his base without a word. There was a little bit of a stare down. And of course, you had Joe Kelly taking a look at him. And then right after that,
it was a ball. Obviously.
Oh, hang on. This is it right here. This is the wrong clip. Here we go.
Swing and a miss. Kelly able to get Correa and strand two runners on base. And a little talking in between innings between Joe Kelly and the Astros dugout. And Astros players starting to congregate near the Dodgers dugout. And here come the Astros out of their dugout. This all had to do with that 3-0 pitch to Bregman. And Correa is being held back. Josh Reddick was the first one to start talking to Joe Kelly, I believe, on his way off the mound.
Okay, that might be the worst play-by-play representation of what
ever,
happened.
Ever.
Burn that clip. Joe Kelly threw another one at Carlos Correa's head. Like, he was headhunting, going for heads last night. And so, of course, the two of them start mouthing off, and Joe Kelly, like, does this thing with him, like he's crying, and then starts yelling at the guy. And then you had, well, to be quite honest, one of the lamest social distanced bench clearings of all time. Like, everyone just kind of came out.
By the way, Rich, oddly enough, bench clearing brawls in a pandemic age, exactly the same as bench clearing brawls without the pandemic.
That's a good
everyone
point.
Runs out of their dugouts in the bullpen. You know, they stare at each other. Hold me back! And then everyone goes back to where they came from.
Yeah,
That's all it was last night.
Well, what's fantastic is that, you know, Dusty Baker gets out there, and, you know, Dusty Baker was speaking about, you know, how horrible this all was, and, you know, like Joe Kelly. So here's Dusty Baker talking about what happened afterwards.
You know, what really enraged everybody is when, you know, he told Carlos, I mean, he struck him out, and he told him, nice swing, and see, what are you supposed to do then? And then what upset me is that the umpires warned us, you know, why don't you warn him? You know, he's the one throwing the ball, and, you know, he's the one that started this mess in the first place.
Okay, hang on. So the Major League, the MLB Network beeped out the word bitch. So Joe Kelly apparently said to Carlos Correa when he's talking about nice swing, bitch.
Yeah.
And that was how the whole thing ended. Yeah. And then, you know, of course, there was the social distance bench clearing. But I love Joe Kelly. I love him. And obviously the want to go moment from a couple years ago. Joe Kelly is a pitcher. You don't want him. You don't want to have to depend on Joe Kelly.
Oh, that's the guy, though. Think about it. Not involved in the Dodgers series.
But he played for the Red Sox, lost to the Astros earlier
exactly.
in the playoffs.
Exactly. And then the other thing, who was the pitcher? You guys had him in studio as a guest. Hit A-Rod after the whole A-Rod stuff. Who was that for the Red Sox?
Arroyo?
No. But it was after the whole A-Rod stuff. Ryan Dempster. These guys, it seems to be like Red Sox people. And did he mention Reddick? wanted to fight Joe Kelly. Were they teammates?
Yes.
At all,
no.
No, that was a while. They were
no,
apart.
No, okay. No, no, no.
I was trying to put it all together full circle.
No. Real quick about Joe Kelly. First of all, what he did was absolutely right. Now, again, maybe you throw behind a guy. You don't throw a 95 mile an hour heater at your head.
You don't throw it their head.
You don't throw it there. But, I mean, Dusty Baker has no leg to stand on. He walked into this manager. First of all, he's happy he has a job managing at his age. And the other part of it is, if you take over this team, you know you're going to be a marked man. Your team is going to be marked for the entire year. I mean, you just have to shut up and take it. Maybe you weren't part of this problem, but you inherited it. You know exactly what's coming. Don't bitch and moan to the media. Don't try and protect your players. Do what Alex Bregman did. You took a 95-mile-an-hour fastball behind your head in a 3-0 count. Don't look at the pitcher. Walk to first base. You guys earned this.
You know, one of the nice little nuggets that you get out of a baseball season is the rare time where a player who intentionally threw a ball at somebody has to do a post-game press conference and then just justifies what they did. And, you know, what are they going to go? Are they going to pretend it never happened or it was an accident, or are they going to go all in? Of course, Joe Kelly, you know, he went this route with his explanations.
It was a ball, obviously. It wasn't my best pitch. I mean, it was ball four, and walked him, and never good to put a guy on when you're leading the game. So some of that, you know, I wasn't feeling the greatest, wasn't the most comfortable. It took me a while to hone in my mechanics.
Dude, he yelled, "Nice swing, bitch." Yeah. And he's trying to play it. I was like, oh, yeah, I lost control. And he continued.
Yeah, I mean, I threw my curveball. I guess I didn't take too kind to it, a curveball. It is what it is. Walked a couple guys, was able to get out of any. I finally made one good pitch for the punch out and, you know, was able to keep the lead where it was at, especially with us not playing, you know, the best baseball in the first four games.
So, I mean, I know that they can't just straight up say that they did it because they could get, you know, suspended or they could get in trouble. But, I mean, I kind of wish they did. Yeah, I mean, did you see what they cheated their way to a ring? So we wanted to get revenge. So I threw at his head. What are you going to do?
I mean, maybe you just shouldn't do it at all, you know? Maybe you should just do it at all. Release a statement. It's basically saying, you saw what happened, and that's it.
I love the pouty face by Joe Kelly, though. I just retweeted it
He's great. Like, I mean, I've always liked Joe Kelly, and as I said, I mean, he's somebody who was infuriating when he was here. Now, when he was a Cardinal, it was Cardinal, right?
Yes.
Where he threw fire. Yeah.
That was the John Lackey trade.
Oh, didn't Joe Kelly get in a fight with the Yankees, Tyler Austin, too? Remember
that's what
that?
We're talking. Let's go. Said, you want to go? And I mean, it's, you know, Joe Kelly Fight Club. You see those T-shirts being sold
out, right. Yeah.
You know, in front of Fenway Park. I like Joe Kelly, and I thought last night was awesome. And that's what we wanted. That's one of the few things that I was looking for this season. I hope it doesn't stop because the Astros deserve it. They absolutely deserve it. And, you know, it kind of sucks for if any of these guys didn't know what was going on, but I think everyone knew what was going on. So, you know what? Bombs away. And let's keep this season entertaining somehow, because the Red Sox sure as hell aren't doing it. And I really don't care where the best seat in the house is.
I think
is.
The Red Sox need that this year.
What?
I think the Red Sox. The Red Sox just signed a dude. No, hear me out. The
I
Red
think
Sox
doing
just
it,
signed
not
a dude.
On purpose.
They just signed a guy named like Stock. All right, look him up. Yeah. He throws 105 miles per hour, and he has bad control. But like, bring that guy up, and when they play the Yankees. Just Bean Judge. I think we could get something going here. Something interesting, at least.
Let's face it. The only entertaining thing that's been happening with the Red Sox, outside, of course, Wallach's head on the Green Monster, is X reaction whenever a team just shells them.
Oh!
He's just like...
That was ridiculous.
And that's once again, an opposing team he's talking about, not his own Red Sox.
I wonder if they care if they got in a fight.
That'd be kind of funny. Right? They're just like, all right, man.
Hey, we don't care about this Osich guy.
All right, 617-779-0985. We have Mike Gorman, the return of Mike Gorman, which means, of course, the return of basketball at 8:20. Also, Billy Jaffe coming up at 9. But in just a few minutes, there was a moment that needs to be discussed on the Celtics broadcast last night, our own Celtics broadcast. We need to take a look at what's going on with our own broadcast crew. We will get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, it's Dutcher and Rich. By the way, if you can't see me in the studio, I'm raising my hand. That's because I want to be called on to get rid of all the music beds and put in new ones. I will do it. I will put in new music beds. This
hey,
is another
Rich,
one.
You know what we strange. Just found out? You know what we just
that?
Found out? Crazy Town. Out.
Oh, very
out.
Nice.
Was deleted during the commercial break.
I like it. I like it. Now this one's fine. It's okay. It's just I've heard it a ton. The Crazy Town, I'm glad it's gone. But I will do that. And they'll all be from the new Hum record, which is phenomenal. Can't stop listening to that. It's one of those that sounds really good loud. So because of the lack of sports, I've been watching more TV than I think most of us usually do, or at least TV shows and things that aren't, you know, the Red Sox and otherwise. And you know, the Emmys came out yesterday, and for the first time in a long time, I know a lot of these shows because I've seen a ton of them over the last several months. And I mean, they got some stuff right, they got some stuff wrong. The one thing that they definitely got right is that Schitt's Creek is up for like a million awards. That's the funniest show on TV.
Oh, I loved it. I thought they had a great ending too.
See, I got a season and a half to go, and I don't want it to end. It's one of those shows that's so good. And it's perfect because every episode's like 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
So you can just, before you go to bed, you can pop one on. And one ends up turning into three. It's one of the easier watches, and I was so late to the show. I
would have thought Eugene Levy could, like, you know, still kind of bring it, and his kids involved. The mom from Home Alone, like, you know what I mean?
Right. Kills. Right. Kills. She is a, you know, I was talking with someone the other day. I was talking with a friend of mine over Zoom, of course, and she has become, in my opinion, like a top 10 television character.
Dude, she's an awesome actress in that show, though.
It's Catherine O'Hara is her name. Yeah. She's been in all those, like, Best of Show and all that stuff, but that show is, and I've never really been a huge Eugene Levy fan, but I think most of it, the majority of it, is written by his son, who is also one of the stars of the show, who kills on that show as well. He's also another like top character. But if you're not watching Schitt's Creek, that show, it's on Netflix. It is brilliant, and it's an easy watch, and it gets better as it goes. The other thing that they did right was, you know, Watchmen is a show that was on HBO, and it gets better the more I think about it. That was actually pretty damn good. That's that weird, like, comic book that they turned into a TV series. It was a bad movie, and it was just, they didn't do a good job. It was that dude Zack Snyder who doesn't know how to direct anything. He did the Justice League. He sucks. Now I'm totally geeking out.
Here we
He's
go.
Ruined, like, good franchises.
That ball was slowly rolling downhill and picking up speed. Yeah.
But Watchmen's pretty good, and it got, like, nominated more than any other thing. Another show that got nominated, but the biggest snub was, and I usually don't care about this stuff. It's so weird how much I actually care about this because I don't watch most of these shows, but now I do, so I'm invested. Is Better Call Saul was really good this season, but the main actress in it, her name is Rhea Seehorn, was one of the best roles I've seen for, and she just destroyed, and she was completely snubbed. Wow. That's another great show that was nominated.
That was my favorite show, and I did love Schitt's Creek, but yeah, that. Better Call Saul was my favorite show that I've
seen.
Well,
this season it's turned into Breaking Bad. Like, now it's Breaking Bad. Like, they've made that turn to where it's as violent, it's as much about the drugs as it was before, and I like that. And there's a certain character on Better Call Saul that went away, thank God, and the minute he went away, the whole show, like, took off, and for the last several seasons has been excellent. Also, The Mandalorian! Picking up a million awards. Thank you. Yes, Baby Yoda. Oh, yes, 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 yes. So there you go. I was just happy. It's, as I said, it's one of the few times I saw the awards come out, and I was invested in it. I was like, oh, yeah, I know this. I know this one. Sure, I've seen that. Woohoo! I'm included in pop culture. All right. We have to talk about something that happened on our own airwaves last night. The Celtics are firing back up. They've had these scrimmage games, and that means everyone's back in the booth. Not only Mike Gorman, who we'll have on at 8:20, but also our own 98.5 The Sports Hub broadcast crew. And something happened on the air yesterday that needs to be discussed. No commercials, just Joe Murray with the headlines, and we'll get to that immediately afterwards.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.